From 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your heart, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Paul loved his sports analogies. There are many of them in his epistles. And our text is another one today. But in Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and now in 2 Timothy, he talks about running, boxing, wrestling. And today it's running, racing. He used these illustrations to bring out great truths in a real down-to-earth way. So today you and I are in a big race. And when the race is all done, we want a crown, the winner's crown. The race that we're running is not just the human race, but the course throughout our lifetime. And at the end, we will either be total winners or total losers. There are some sports activities when you either win or lose. You're either a winner or a loser. We don't hear that much anymore, do we? 10 kids have a race, and you can ask them all after the race, did you win? And even the one who comes in 10th says, yes, I won somehow. A congeniality award or sports award or whatever. We can argue about whether that's a good policy to call everybody a winner when we know they're not, but we won't do that now. What I do know is in Paul's time, there was one winner of a race, and everyone else was a loser. The losers would go home in shame and disgrace. Sunday, Mankato hosted the Mankato Marathon. One of my sons joined the race. Hundreds of marathoners in the full marathon. And he did really well. Under 3 minutes. And he came out fourth in the race. Out of hundreds. And I walked up and I shook his hand. And I said, oh, great time, great race. But if he were a Greek or a Roman in Paul's time, he would have been running out of there in disgrace and shame in no time. He didn't win. And the whole family would have to run away with him. There's only one winner who wears the crown. In the case of those old games, some leaves of olive leaves that soon withered. But so there are winners and there are losers. And we know what happens to the losers in this big race that you and I are involved in. Jesus says it. There are only two groups on the last day, aren't there? There's no middle ground. There's no first runner-up, second runner-up, or anything else. There are winners and there are losers. And the losers, he says to them, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's where you're going, says Paul to the losers. Certainly in the gladiator contests of Paul's time, there was one winner and there was one loser. You don't pin a silver medal on the corpse or give it to the widow of the one who has died. There is a winner and a loser. Paul said it to the Corinthians. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. And then he says, run in such a way as to get the prize. And now Paul is telling young Timothy, shortly before Paul is about to be executed, the words before our text are, the time has come for my departure. And then he says, fight the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give, not to me only, but also to all who loved his appearing. Did you hear all the sports analogies there? Fight, race, crown, and the judge of the contest. The judge of the contest is the righteous judge, he says. It is Jesus in the big race of life. So Paul fully expects to be the winner. How in the world can that be? When we know the course that he ran, he was tripped up always by sin. He was complicit in murder in his earlier life, putting Christians to death, arresting them, falsely accusing them. And then long after he became a Christian, he's the one who says it the most clearly. The good things I want to do, I don't do them. And the bad things that I don't want to do, I do them. So he was tripped up in his race all along the way, and the word should have been disqualified, disqualified, loser. But that's not what he expects on the last day, he says. He says, the righteous judge is going to give him the crown of righteousness, the winner's crown. How can this be? Paul is also the one that tells us very clearly how this can be. And it's this way, by a great exchange. God made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God in Jesus took losers and ran for them and now credits them as winners. All who cling to him in faith become winners. And it's for sure because Jesus alone ran that race absolutely perfectly. The writer of Hebrews says that so clearly. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising its shame. Why? What was the joy set before him? So that he could declare all those who are found in him winners with him. He ran the race perfectly so that losers can be winners. So the message today is simply cling to him and be credited with his victory. Lean on him, if you want this terminology, rest on his laurels. Rest on his laurels. He ran the race for you. Let us arise and pray. Equip me by your word for my ongoing race, dear Jesus. Focus my eyes of faith firmly on you as I run. When I seem to hit the wall and cannot run on, inspire me to finish strong in the faith in you, the faith that you have given me, and in your promise of the winner's crown that you will give me on the last day. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.